What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions. Right here, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rexroad, what's going on? How are we doing?
Oh, just great. Just great. How are you?
I am wonderful. So let's just start right there. Explain to everyone what your travel day was like yesterday. It sounded like a ton of fun.
Well, it's certainly not far from alone on this. Is anybody out there who's been doing any Southwest traveling? A whole bunch of flights got canceled over the weekend. Like, I got to Nashville. So yeah, long story short, my flight was delayed. Actually, I mean, I thought there was a real good chance it was not going to happen. I was like, okay, do I start driving and just take this rental car and just keep going as far as I can go, you know? But like a crew. So there's different reports, but I think it's related to the vaccine mandate and the company. And so there's people who are, I guess, at the very least, like calling in sick in droves. But we had a crew who had to fly from Baltimore to Jacksonville to then, you know, get on our plane so we could go back to Nashville. So long story short, got in at, you know, like 11:30, 11:45 or whatever. But the thing is, the airport was absolutely packed because obviously it's a Southwest hub.
Yeah.
And so many people in that Nashville airport last night trying to get out who looked like they'd been there a long time. And then you get the shuttle to the economy lot. I mean, I swear it was 2 hours before it showed up. It wasn't that long, but anyway, got to bed a little bit after 1 a.m. So, but to brighten the, and to bring the energy, I hope everybody can see this, this coffee mug today.
Oh yes. The Detroit Lions.
I want to give a shout out to the finest franchise in professional sports, because they are incredible. A lot of stuff happened yesterday, but you tip your cap to them. And in all seriousness, I do tip my cap to Dan Campbell. I don't know, you know, he's probably not going to go well for him because he's the Lions coach, but I like that guy, right? Like, how do you not like that guy?
I like him too. One of my buddies texted me yesterday as I was coming back from Cincy and said, did you have over under 5 games for Dan Campbell breaking down in tears in the post-game press conference for the Lions head coach? And I was like, no, didn't quite have it that soon, but here we are. But yes, I do actually genuinely enjoy Dan Campbell on multiple fronts.
And do you enjoy Packers-Bengals games in Cincinnati?
Oh, man. That was a top five most stressful football game I've ever been to in my entire life. It was something.
I was stressed for you.
Mason Crosby. Love that guy, but man, he took about 10 years off my life yesterday. That was a field goal kicking display, the likes of which Joe Rexroad I've never seen in my life. He misses 3 field goals, including an extra point, so 4 total. And then the Bengals kicker misses 2 at the end of the game. So Crosby missed one with 2 minutes left, missed one at the buzzer in regulation, missed one in overtime, and then he finally got the game winner. That was quite something yesterday.
My goodness. Yeah, like I'm kind of, you know, I'm obviously I was in Jacksonville, so I'm, you know, doing Titans stuff, but I'm sort of following along here and there. I just see a tweet from you or somebody like, oh my God, you know, related to that game. But I liked your post game, you know, never a doubt. You know, I like that. Yeah, just had it all along, man.
Got to keep the faith. Up to 4-1 for the Green Bay Packers. Devontae Adams, 11 catches, 203 yards and a touchdown yesterday. It's fun to watch that guy in person. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And and Skyline.
Got a little Skyline chili. Oh, yeah. It was a largely a good day. I will say, shout out to Bengals fans. Very nice people. I enjoyed Cincinnati Bengals fans. Now, having said that, Paul Brown Stadium, dump. It's not good.
Yeah, you don't like it, huh?
No. It is not good. But Bengals fans, great people. Enjoyed them. Sat around a bunch of them. I would say they handled the situation quite nicely. I don't know that it was exactly 50-50 in terms of the Packers-Bengals fan split, but it was pretty close. And if it wasn't, there were a whole lot of green and gold in there.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
50%. No kidding.
There was a lot.
See, I would figure that with, you know, this team, with Burrow, you know, kind of coming around and stuff, that they'd have a little bit more, you know, a little bit more presence at a big game like that. But I guess that's probably also one of those opportunities where you sell it.
Yeah.
Sell your tickets the one time to you know, Packers fan, and you might, you know, pay for the rest of the year or something. I don't know.
I will say this. If you're a Titans fan out there, one thing that you're going to have to keep your eye on in the AFC for a long time, the Burrow to Chase connection is pretty unbelievable, and it's not going anywhere. Those two are pretty darn good. And Joe Burrow, I'm here to tell you, he is going to win an NFL MVP one day, at least one. He is really good. He's a good player.
Yeah. Well, no doubt. Well, that's still a bold statement. But yeah. but I mean, I could see it. Yeah, it's you know, that's an interesting sort of team that you don't think about in this AFC. And they're not going to be there anytime soon, but no. But it's one of many teams, you know, that had, like, I mean, the Jags are the same thing. I mean, they may screw it up, you know, they may totally screw it up, and they probably did by hiring Urban Meyer. But you know, Trevor Lawrence is, I like watching him yesterday, I didn't see anything that led me to believe he'll be anything but really, really good, you know, for a long time.
Yep. Michelle Knezovic, I talked more about Kentucky football this weekend to the people of Cincinnati than I think I've ever talked about Kentucky football in my life. People are really excited up there about some Wildcat football and a domination against LSU over the weekend. Your reaction to being 6-0 for Kentucky football, and once again, 6-0 in Pigskin Pick'em as well for Michelle Knezovic. Quite the weekend for Michelle.
Guys, and my Steelers won. It was just
a big weekend for you.
It was a big weekend. Very happy. Joe, you can't see right now, but I have a shirt on right now, and it says, Kentucky is not just a basketball school.
Yeah.
And I wore it for you all today.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm so happy, and I loved alumni weekend.
Oh, yeah.
/ homecoming. No, it was great. It was unreal. There were a lot of LSU fans, I will say. LSU fans are great. Caroline Fenton told me. She said they're very nice. Very nice. And also, Robbie, you'll find this interesting. Met an LSU fan, huge Packers fan, but went to LSU. And I was like, so, who are you rooting for in the game? And he was like, well, like, Joe Burrow's the man. Like, they were rooting for the Bengals solely because of Joe Burrow, even though they were huge Packers fans.
Well, they're not huge Packers fans if they're rooting for Joe Burrow.
But they went to LSU.
I don't care. That's disrespectful.
Well,
that's what that is.
But you won, so it's fine.
What a conflict.
Is that fine?
It's fine.
No, Lexington was amazing. And, guys, first time Kentucky football is 6-0 since 1950.
Yeah. Big weekend.
Was that Bear Bryant? Probably Bear Bryant,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, now I'm scared for next Saturday in Athens.
Yeah, it could be a big one.
I'm actually scared. So
that'll be a big one. Kentucky, Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think it's going to go well for Kentucky, frankly. But great start. And if I do have to ask you this on LSU fans, are they nice to Coach O too? Because I,
well, they were telling me how they want to hire Mark Stoops.
Oh, okay. Let's go.
They said, well, we think he's on the hot seat now. And I'm like, well, yeah. And he was like, so what do you think about Mark Stoops? I mean, he's going to beat us and then maybe we'll try to hire him.
Oh,
I was like,
boy.
Oh, wow.
Hands off.
Also, funny story, guys. Forgot to pack my glasses and contacts, so couldn't really see the game, and I had to keep asking my friends what the score was. It was just absolutely awful. I realized I really am that blind.
What a weekend. Yep. No, wow. Visual aid for Michelle. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ron texting in. Good morning. Sorry I wasn't able to talk trash to Joe before the fantasy game this week. No need, Joe. I think you're going to be 0-5 after tonight, courtesy the gridiron. This is coming from Ron.
Yeah, so I at this point, my radio fantasy team, I'm making a goal to match the Lions, their last offer under Rod Marinelli.
Yeah.
But at least I didn't even, you get to the point if your fantasy team stink where you stop even doing the lineup. So I didn't even do my Titans Media League lineup, and Dalvin Cook was still in it, who, of course, was out. And yet I'm still going to beat Glennon. So at least I got that going for me.
I also beat Glennon.
There you go.
Oh, good. Good job. See, I didn't even realize that.
There you go.
Excellent work. So you won everything. Anything that could possibly be won, you won.
Yeah, it's a good weekend, guys. A lot of winning for me over here.
A lot of winning going on. Speaking of winning, the Titans get it done, 37-19 down in Jacksonville. Joe, it was not always pretty. It was not always fun to watch for the Titans, but at the end of the day, they get it done, 37-19. Your initial reaction to the Titans and their performance yesterday?
It was okay. I mean, it's what you should do. I think the big thing that stands out, it really is what this league's about, is you got to make plays, and they made plays. So even though I thought a lot of the day was really poor defensively, I mean, you think about like that 58-yard play where, half the defense has a chance to make a tackle and doesn't.
Yep.
And just again, you're talking about almost 7 yards a play, 454 total yards for the Jags. And that wasn't just like garbage time. I mean, they ran the ball, 198 yards on the ground. They ran the ball with way too much ease on the Titans. There was just some real bad linebacking in there. Some more, rough play from the secondary, but they did make plays. Harold Landry makes plays. Jeffrey Simmons made a huge play. Kevin Byard, he's got the scoop and score pick double play day. That was good. I think that defense is very ragged, and I don't even know if it's average. And then it's about to see way more challenges than it's been seeing. And on the other side of the ball, I did think it was a little bit better play from the offensive line after a rough start. Now, remember, the Jags, they got pressure in a lot of cases. The Jags sent tons of pressure.
Yep.
Interesting side note on this whole thing with the Jags. I know we got to go to break soon. But Calvin, our guy who used to work with us, got to see him in the press box. And, of course, he is an analytics guy for the Jags, and he works with the defense. So I had a little bit of a hint that there may be a little pressure coming on Tannehill. And I tell you what, that was their game plan. Their game plan was, Shaq Griffin, you are gonna follow A.J. Brown along all day, and he did a very good job. And then the pressure is going to come. And I thought the Titans offensive line actually did a decent job. And then obviously, you wait until the very end to get to Derrick Henry. By the way, that shot almost came true.
Yeah.
But I failed to, remember that there's a fourth quarter and eventually. But, I mean, he was at 80-something, with what, 6 minutes left, I think. And it's like, okay. And they were going to win easily. But then, at that point, you're asking the defense to keep tackling him, and they didn't want to anymore. So Derrick Henry, 29, 130, 3 touchdowns, blowing everyone away again in this league in carries and rushing yards and everything. And he should be an MVP candidate.
Continues to be an absolute stud. We are off today and running here on Robbie and Rex Row, taking your thoughts all show long on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll continue to break down and unpack the Titans' win yesterday against the Jags. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Why is it difficult? I'm glad we got the win, but for me, I expect more out of myself. I expect better out of myself. I got to do a better job. I got to get going.
That was Titans wide receiver A.J. Brown after the game yesterday. A 37-19 win for the Titans against Urban Meyer and the hapless Jacksonville Jaguars. By the way, Jags fall to 0-5 this year. They have now lost 20, count them, 20 consecutive games, which is the second longest losing streak in the history of the NFL. Only the expansion era Tampa Bay Buccaneers have lost more. They lost 26 in a row. So Joe Rexroad, the Jaguars, continuing to reach for history under Urban Meyer.
Yeah, so I was on Urban Meyer duty yesterday. Interesting day. So I wrote a piece about Urban for our NFL page, and you know, sort of followed him around before. I mean, I didn't like. I unfortunately, I did not have like locker room access to follow him around.
Right.
But kind of just observed the pregame, and I mean, this little kid. I wrote this in the piece, but this little. At theathletic.com, by the way. This little kid, Urban's coming in, okay? First of all, he comes out alone, and no one said, like, the players come out, it's like, yeah! Urban comes out, and it's, like, basically dead silence. Like, you know how there's always fans around the tunnel, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, one woman was like, woo! She was there with her kid, and when he came back in, you know, then they do warm-ups and stuff. He's mostly just stands alone. He goes over and talks to Vrabel. It's like, oh, yeah, pretend you like each other, blah, blah, blah. Okay, all right. Then, you know.
Vrabel, how's your week going?
Yeah. I know. I hope he said something funny in there. then Urban comes in, and there's this kid. I mean, he's, you know, is he 8? I tried to find this kid. You had to like go all the way up and then come back down and go to the other side of the tunnel. Cause I wanted to like get his name and actually interview him. And he was gone. Cause you know, a lot of times you're sitting wherever and I'm looking all over, like these people must've thought I was such a weirdo. Like I'm like all down in there, like searching, you know, and people are like, what are you looking at, dude? And he's this fool walking around with his notebook, you know, a little press pass. But anyway, this kid, Urban comes in and this kid's like, and I wrote this, he's like, hey, he's like, Urban Meyer, why'd you do that last week? Oh, man. And he kind of like looked around to see if anybody was laughing, you know. And I mean, Urban didn't react to it. I have no idea if he heard it, but I'm sure he heard it. But
how old was this kid?
8.
Like I said, like probably 8, 9, you know, maybe 10. You know, which is, first of all, it's like, yeah, everybody knows, even the young people of America.
Oh, boy.
Of course, like, no, hey, maybe it was just a play call he didn't like and the Bengals lost. But it
could be.
It did strike me like, and of course, so then the post game, I went to Urban. I went to Urban for the post game. And it did strike me that the first time he's in on an actual like opposing stadium, oh boy, will that be fun.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, like, I mean, people are going to, and it's just going to be like that all year. I guess he gets London next. Who knows what that might be like? But then, like the post game, you know, and you're watching the whole game, and he's trying to get pumped on the sideline and stuff. And it's interesting too with him. Like he's very into the offense, right? Obviously, I mean, it's his offense. That's what he does. That's what he cares about. And then when the Jags are on defense, he basically just sits there with a sad look on his face, just like hands on his hips, like what is going on here? Like after the game, I mean, first of all, the challenge by Urban was, you know, he listened to the players. It wasn't going to work. I saw some people like, that's fireable to challenge him. Like, yeah, okay. But it wasn't going to happen. I mean, then again, they also like needed that so badly. Like the timeout wasn't going to matter anyway, you know, like if they didn't get some break like that. But 4th and 1, you know, Trevor Lawrence doesn't get in. That was the right call. 4th and 1. I mean, from the inch line. And you sneak Lawrence. I don't think the Titans have a chance. Also, James Robinson was just tremendous yesterday. And I understand that Carlos Hyde's a power back. And it's not like – it's not the personnel that was the problem on this play, because basically Tyre Tart just destroyed the play.
Right.
And as soon as he destroyed – so if it was James Robinson, the exact same thing happened. This, I don't think – I mean, James Robinson's quicker than Carlos Hyde. I don't think he gets to the edge and gets in. So – but it's still like, that's your play? You know, and then Urban after the game is like, well, you know, you guys may not, it may sound silly, but we haven't really worked on that. We, you know, he's not comfortable doing the sneak. And then like 3 minutes later, Trevor Lawrence comes in. He's like, oh yeah, we worked that. I'm comfortable. What? So I don't know, man. Like, I mean, I feel like for Jacksonville fans, and I know Titans fans don't want to think about this idea of Trevor Lawrence you know, having this reign over the AFC South. Right now, they're easy to laugh at, and they are pushing for the creamsicle Bucks of the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
With the all-time record of 26.
They might win next
Trevor
week,
Trevor Lawrence. Over the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with the Dolphins QB situation.
The Dolphins they absolutely are putrid. Might. Anyway, continue. I did not mean to interrupt you.
No, 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 I agree. But Trevor Lawrence could be special, and that they could be really good for a long time. I don't know, man. I think you called the show that he was going to resign. I was there in case you were right. And I was like, well, Robbie's right. This is going to be a hell of a press conference. I do think there's a real chance that when this year's over, that's just enough. And really, that might be best, and that might be worse for Titans fans than AFC South fans who. Yeah. Don't want to see a better coach with him. I'm still also, I said it last week and I'll say it again. I'm still like it right now. It is very easy to take shots at Urban and to laugh at him and point the finger and, oh, what a disaster. And it has been just one folly after another. I'm still not totally convinced that he won't figure this out, but we'll see.
We'll see on that front. And you brought up the goal line play on fourth and goal for the Jags. You know, it gets lost in the final score because it ends up being 37-19. I mean, that's a massive play in the game. It's 31-19 at that point, and there's over 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So for the Titans to come up and make a stop there on the goal line, you know, there are a lot of big plays in the game that you can point to, but that was a gigantic play by this Titans defense.
Well, no doubt. I mean, they were really actually kind of reeling. You know, it's 31-13, and it's basically over. But then the Jags put together a drive. And again, I think that was the drive of the 58-yard play. And they get in. And then the Titans mess around on offense. And you make that 31-26, 10 minutes left. It's a little bit of here we go again. And kind of like the formula from last week when, you know, the Titans gave some life to a bad team early. Then looked like they – you know, had control of it when they're up 17-10 the Jets, and then they just all of a sudden their defense just stops playing, stops making plays. So for Tart to make that play was huge, and that basically ended the game. Yeah, who knows what goes on from there if it's 31, you know, if it's a one-score game. The heavily favored team on the road feels pressure using that situation. So Tart, one of those many guys on D who, as rough a day as it was overall, you know, came up with a timely play. Jeffrey Simmons, his batted pass, which I'm trying to think, I think that was that early fourth? I think it was.
Yeah.
That's a touchdown. I mean, I can't say for sure that Lawrence's pass is going to be accurate, but it just needed to be within anywhere within the range of Agnew because he had absolutely burned Chris Jackson off the line, and it was wide open deep. Titans were built yesterday to not give up big plays, were built, you know, to make them dink and dunk, and yet you still gave up a 58-yarder, and you were right there to give up a huge, easy touchdown pass, but Jeffrey Simmons made a play.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans when we come back on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, including why apparently the Titans might have an absolute stud on the defensive side of the ball. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Support Stars this Saturday by running, walking, or boogieing in the Nashville Striders 21st Annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K Run Walk at Shelby Bottoms Park. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger, and you can also show your support and participate virtually. For more information, visit starsnashville.com. org. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Drew texting in. Good bounce back by the boys. Glad to get the W, but man, it's going to be rough Monday night. Buffalo looks flawless, and it could be rough on us. However, we rise up to the occasion in these games, and I hope we can again keep up the good work, fellas. Drew, we appreciate you listening. Buffalo looks pretty good. We'll have a lot, obviously a long time to talk about the Buffalo game before the Monday night matchup comes up. But they look awfully impressive so far, Joe Rexroth. The Titans are going to have to play their best game in order to beat the Bills.
Yeah, I do at some point. I do. I watched last night. That's one good thing. Hey, you know, if you're forced to travel till the wee hours of the morning, and you get the game on the Southwest app, you know, got to watch that game. And I must say, I will say that I saw a lot of reaction like, oh, my gosh, the Bills are flat out the best team in the AFC. They might be. I do think that last night was also another red flag on the Chiefs. And I don't know how much of both things it is. But I mean,
they don't look very good.
They don't look very good. Their defense right now. And, of course, you take Chris Jones out that defense, he's a huge part of that defense. But they just – they don't look very good. Now, that looked really bad with Edwards-Helaire, too.
Yep.
With the knee injury late. And I don't know, teams are figuring out ways to take away Tyreek Hill and kind of, and also the pressure. Now, that's the thing. The Chiefs did so much of their offensive line. The Bills were just all over Mahomes. And I do think the Bills are better defensively. I mean, I wrote a very negative column today about the Titans after my Urban Meyer column that, you know, that they're not ready for this stretch. They are not a very good football team right now, basically. And, of course, the Titans can't think about the stretch. You know, we'll talk about the stretch, Bills, Colts, Rams, Chiefs, right? They can't think that way. They won't think that way. The toughest of them right now looks like this very next one. But, look, if the Jets can beat the Titans – the Titans could come out on a home game on a Monday night and ambush the Bills. Just right now, it looks like a mismatch.
It does, but one guy that could be a big weapon for the Titans as they move ahead here is Harold Landry, and he continues to play extremely well for this team. 7 tackles yesterday, 2 sacks, 3 quarterback hits. Joe Rexroth, this is the I think the best we've ever seen Harold Landry play by far, and man, does Harold Landry look really good right now on the defensive side of the ball for the Titans. It's a good time for him to be playing this well for him, given what that could mean for his next contract. But, man, Harold Landry has been an absolute stud so far this year for the Titans, and I did not really expect to see that, especially given that Bud Dupree has not really been a factor at all so far.
Right, exactly. I mean, how much have we been talking about, well, what would Harold Landry, what would things look like for him if there was a problem player for the opposition on the other side, which, you know, Clowney was supposed to be and Bud Dupree was supposed to be. Dupree may yet be. But right now it's Ola Adeniyi, who, you know, has sort of faded here after that tremendous start. I mean, he's good enough to play, you know, to be out there and contribute. Now they signed John Simon. That hasn't mattered. And I do wonder, you know, actually, I asked Ryan Crow, I guess it was last week, about the O-line, or O-line, outside linebackers coach. It was interesting, you know, that they did this thing in camp with Harold Landry where it's like, you know, let's not use that outside speed move. You can use anything else, but you're not allowed to use that. I thought that was an interesting approach. Is that paying off? He said less. He kind of said yes and no. You know, I mean, you don't want to – I mean, ultimately, you got to give credit to Landry for just being relentless. That's what it, I mean, yeah. Just to me, it still looks like a lot of the same move. It's just working. You know? And I do think that like the speed to power stuff with him has gotten better and better. And you're talking 4.5 sacks, you know, in 5 games for a guy who had 4.5 all of last year. So it's good to see him rewarded. You know, Trevor Lawrence can move pretty well, and twice he just did not let him get away yesterday. And those are 2 big sacks, too. I think 17 total yards and losses. Now, of course, Titans also got caught with their personnel and on a touchdown. Landry is, I mean, Rashawn Evans is rushing, and Landry is trying to cover a tight end on this long crossing route and you know, that 4th-and-1,
yeah,
which you could question that play call, but I mean, actually, it was pretty crafty of the Jags come out, spread out, go empty against a jumbo D and perfect pass and easy touchdown. So that's on the, you know, that's more on the Titans coaches. But Landry himself just having a heck of a season. And boy, do they need that.
Well, they do. And you brought up the 4.5 sacks in 5 games. And obviously, that's really good. And that's a great pace for the Titans to be on. But, I mean, you could take it a step further than that. He's got 10 quarterback hits so far through five games, and the pressures that he's been able to put together, he has been one of the best players in the NFL in terms of the pressure that he's been able to generate so far this season. So Harold Landry, not just with the sack numbers, because obviously that's the first thing we look at, and the sack numbers are really good, but the QB hits and the pressures that he's been able to generate so far, really impressive. And like I said, didn't really expect to see that out of Harold Landry. But if he keeps this up, that's obviously really good news for this Titans defense, who I think still, as you pointed out, they're struggling at times, even with Harold Landry on the field and playing the way that he is. But if he can keep this up, and at some point Bud Dupree's back in there and is healthy, maybe, for the first time in a long time, you have a legitimate pass rush at both outside linebacker spots. And we'll see what that could do for the overall, transformation of this Titans defense. But not just the sack numbers with Harold Landry. He's playing well, really, in all facets of the game right now.
Yeah, no doubt. And they need it. I mean, they need that to help their secondary. Overall, it has been better, certainly. And the third down front, for as bad as a lot of the numbers looked yesterday, Jags are 3 for 10 on third down. So the Titans did get off the field. 70% of the time, you'll take that every game. And overall, those numbers are better. Landry played he did not play every snap, by the way.
Only 92%.
There you go. 92% of the snaps, 65 of the snaps. Adaney plays 23. John Simon plays 19, but they also do different things with Autry. They're doing different things to compensate. This also brings up an interesting situation for John Robinson, because I could see the case made for, boy, maybe you should really try to, like, if this is what he's going to be, and at the end of it, he's sitting there with, like, 12 sacks, that's someone who maybe you would have liked to have locked up, right?
Yeah.
Before that gets there. So I'd be interested to know, if John Robinson is considering trying to work on something and lock him up, or if if he's just going to go to the market, because he could be all of a sudden a much more coveted player. I think with film, with GMs around the league and scouts around the league, I'm sure there's a lot of respect already for Landry as, a good player and someone. Durability is such an asset in this league. And as we're seeing with the Titans, it almost seems rare,
Yeah.
Especially on certain teams. But good player, durable, great effort, all that stuff. Like, you want him in your locker room. But, okay, you get that to a double-digit sack type guy, that's a totally different conversation now.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe from Maryland texting in. What do you make of him having this season in a contract year? It would have been nice to see this early on so we had some clarity about who he really is, because I don't know if you can sign Landry to a big contract. This coming from Joe in Maryland.
Well, I'll say this. Look, I mean, I think that's a human nature thing, isn't it? That you got the pressures on and you've got to find everything you can to – whatever it is, to get the big payday, to stay in the league. I mean, Rashawn Evans is in a different type of situation right now.
Yeah.
He's struggling. And I don't know what the interest in him would be around the league at this point. Of course, in pro sports, a lot of times you see players have great years and contract years, and it's not a coincidence. But I'll say this for Landry. I mean, the effort and the want to and the coming to work every day and busting it, that's been there. Sometimes you figure things out and you just get better. And he must have had a very good offseason. Yeah, I just mentioned, like, the Ryan Crow stuff, try to work on other moves. I think we've talked about this before a million times. It's one of my little soapbox things. Like, people can get better when they're professional athletes. They can improve. They can figure things out. Derrick Henry is a totally different player right now. I know he won the Heisman, and he had some great moments, and he had the speed and power and all that all along. He is a totally different player right now than he was his first 2.5 years in the NFL. He's figured some things out, and there's technical things, there's nuances. There's a lot of things where you can improve. You're allowed to improve. And I think that's also part. It's not just like Harold Landry decided to start playing hard because it's a contract year. I think he's just coming into his own. But it is a great question on then what is it worth to you to keep him? I would say it'd be good to have some good players on defense and some players you drafted that get a second deal. I think that's a sign of a well-built team. But I also understand you can't pay everybody. Right now, he's making a bid to be paid.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. Coming up next, there was a glaring problem with the Titans on the defensive side of the ball yesterday that, to me, is a pretty big concern moving forward. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was the Kevin Byard interception to end the game yesterday for the Titans. The final 37-19 for the Titans against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Titans improved to 3-2 and now staring down the barrel of Buffalo, Kansas City, Indianapolis, and the LA Rams coming up. So this is the meat of the schedule for the Titans. Got a lot of big football games coming up. Joe Rexroad, you mentioned something earlier defensively that I was watching yesterday as I'm coming back from Cincinnati that just stood out to me that I think is pretty concerning as they move ahead here. And that is, what exactly are they going to do at linebacker? I thought David Long, I mean, for the most part, he's been pretty good this year. But there are two plays in particular that stand out to me from Rashawn Evans yesterday. And, you know, it's a handoff to James Robinson on the goal line, and Rashawn Evans just completely guesses and jumps over the line of scrimmage and is nowhere to be found where the gap is actually going for James Robinson. And then on Robinson's 58-yard run, he just takes the complete wrong gap, and Robinson's gone for 58 yards. And I came away from those two plays, Joe, just thinking like, all right, Rashawn Evans is very gifted athletically. We've seen him have some really good instinctual plays, particularly on the goal line so far in his career. But it just looks like he's out there just totally guessing at this point. And that burned the Titans a couple of times yesterday. Not very good for Rashawn Evans on that side of the ball yesterday in Jacksonville.
No, and I mean, that drive, clearly the Jaguars saw something. They just said, you know what, we're going to run this way and have a lot of success. And Kevin Byard, actually the best play Byard made all day. I mean, first of all, I hope he went to Lawrence and said, hey, thanks for the pick on the last play of the game. Threw it right to him. Appreciate it. Got the touchdown, which was a great play, by the way, by Elijah Molden. We haven't talked about him yet, but I thought it was very good to see him back on the field having a chance to make some mistakes because he's also going to make some plays. The best play Byard made was chasing Robinson down from behind, save a touchdown. Then ends up not mattering. They just say, okay, well, we'll just hand off three more times in a row and we'll score on you. And Evans is a part of that. And that position is kind of a sneaky problem. We think so much about what's going on with the secondary. Are they getting any pass rush? But you can't let a team run on you like that. And I think a lot of that is at the second level. And David Long made some clear mistakes too yesterday. David Long makes plays, and he's going to be an important guy. You got Jayon Brown now is on IR. That's not good. Monty Evans got hurt yesterday, had to leave, and I forget what his injury was because there's 18,000 injuries on this team right now. But Monty Rice comes in for him, seems to be doing fine, and that may be next year's linebacking interior, by the way. Monty Rice and David Long, but then he gets hurt.
I think Evans was a quad, if I remember correctly.
Okay, so he was able to come back. Look, the bottom line is for the foreseeable future here, I mean, it's going to be him as long as he's healthy, and it's going to be David Long next to him, and Rashawn Evans simply has to get better. Especially, sometimes you take the wrong gap. You get caught up in the wash. You get blocked. This happens. I think it happens too much to them, and the play you're talking about, I just can't imagine that that's what he was supposed to do, just leap over the pile and take himself out of the play. Because if he reads the play and tracks Robinson, he may have – I mean, he's got the physical ability to make plays, and he does still make plays. Like on that play, if he does what I think you're supposed to do, it's possible that he gets enough push to keep him out of there.
I mean, if you go back and watch the play, it's a pretty hilarious kind of breakdown of, it's a good job of guessing the snap count, jumping over the line of scrimmage, some good athleticism by Rashawn Evans on that play. It's just you see Robinson get the ball and walk into the end zone, and then on the other frame, Rashawn Evans is flipping over the line of scrimmage, nowhere near the ball carrier. Impressive stuff other than that, though. Way to go, Rashawn.
Well, yeah. Well, and the thing is, we've talked about this with him before. In space, you know, he struggles in coverage and things like that. But, you know, in short yardage on the goal line or just like in a fourth and one or something, a lot of times that guy is – it's like, wow, look at him blow that up. How many times has he done that? But I don't know. Was that always just guessing? I mean, there's a certain amount of guessing sometimes.
Sure.
But that play just – yeah, that looked just weird. And it's that's tough. You know, now you look at the overall picture of the defense. Fulton, man, you do not want that guy to get hurt. I mean, he's had the ankle. Then yesterday they reported it was a hamstring. I mean, how many hamstrings can one team have?
Jeez.
And he walked off very gingerly. He was down for a while. He walked off gingerly. So that's bad news for this team if Fulton is going to miss any time. Now, Caleb Farley did get out there. So the first and second round pick were active yesterday, everybody.
Yeah.
You know, sound the, you know, get the parade lined up. Dylan Raiden still could not come off the bench. Corey Levin, guy that, you know, they cut him and they just brought him back, and they feel better about him going in there at left guard than Dylan Raiden. So Raiden's is, I guess, just the very bottom of the depth chart of whatever position he might play. But Farley was out there, and he may end up becoming an important figure here, especially in the near term. If Fulton is banged up, I mean, it's got to be, I think. Well, I shouldn't say that. I mean, they obviously have Breon Borders as well, but I would think that Farley would have to be readied to have a bigger role.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ron texting in, the Titans should have gone after Jalen Smith. Well,
we talked about last week.
Maybe they did. I don't know.
That's true. We don't know. Well, when he became available, I did say, like, I don't know. Does he fit? You know, can he help on the edge? I mean, he's one of those guys who, like, phenomenal athlete, also very serious injuries that threatened his career. But for next year.
Yeah.
What's it look like? I think that certainly Jayon Brown and Rashawn Evans are probably in different cities next year. So, you know, all of a sudden you're like, is Monty Rice ready? And then what about after that? So from that perspective, maybe they should have, like you said, maybe they did, but they don't have him. So
let's go back
to stuff to figure out there.
That's right. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dustin from Hopkinsville texting in. With 21 or 23 injuries, a subpar wide receiving group, I'm really happy to be where we are. Minus a key game we should have won with the Jets. We truly don't know this Titan ceiling until they get healthy. Just have to get some guys back and get through it. One upside, we're banged up at the beginning of the season, not heading into the playoffs. Titan fan through and through. It's bad right now, but it could be worse. So Dustin weighing in after the 3-2 start for the Titans, saying the injuries, everything factoring in, he's happy to be where he is right now, or where this team is, given everything that's going on.
Well, I mean, look, I think that's reasonable. It's an optimistic view, but the injuries are crazy. I guess my question is, are we sure that's going to get better? You know, because first of all, we know some of the key guys on this team had serious injuries and were brought in. We know this.
Oh yeah,
but also, I will say on the AJ Brown front yesterday, I thought he looked pretty good. Now, Shaq Griffin did a great job on him. And A.J. Brown expressed some frustration after the game. Basically, you know, I got to get going. But that was a good sign on the hamstring front with him. Hamstrings are just, you have this many. Who knows how that'll turn out. We did see another guy we haven't talked about on the health front who, again, I feel like there's a little bit of validation here. I know I wasn't the only one. Marcus Johnson is a player. Yeah. Marcus Johnson can play, man. Marcus Johnson is going to really help this team. He and Tannehill built great chemistry, and they talked about that after the game yesterday. And if you consider him with Julio Jones, with A.J. Brown, it's an imposing offense. Still, if the offensive line can gel and figure it out. I still think the offense could be what we've talked about. I just don't know with the defense. And in the, you know, Bud Dupree, huge part of that. Other than Bud Dupree, what else about this defense can make big strides here?
I mean, the only other thing I can really think of is if somehow Caleb Farley puts it all together in the second half of the season and starts to look more like the player you drafted. But that, at this point, you know, with the role that he's been in and the injuries that he's dealt with, like, I don't have a ton of confidence that by the season's end, Caleb Farley is going to be some lockdown corner out there.
I do have one more, and another thing we haven't talked about yet as we finish the hour. Amani Hooker could help a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Amani Hooker would be a very important return. And again, he started to work last week, so he's a guy to watch this week. And boy, could they use Hooker for the games to come. The Bills and Chiefs next. Yeah. Because Dan Cruikshank
he was awful yesterday.
Yeah, he made way too many mistakes out there. It's a big step down from Hooker to Cruikshank. So that is one area, because you know Byard's playing well. If you had someone that he worked for a long time to build chemistry with and they have a good thing going back there, that could certainly make a difference. So Dupree and Hooker, that is a reason for hope right now, you know, that that it can get better. There's still a lot of issues beyond that, of course.
Cruikshank, by his own admission yesterday, not very good. On Twitter last night, says, quote, played and tackled terrible today. I'll clean it up. I don't care who believes in me. I believe in me. Hashtag on to the next one. This coming from Dane Cruikshank yesterday. Not a great day for him. And look, he wasn't alone on this one play, but it is kind of interesting. You know, the Chenault reception that turned into a 58-yarder where there was like the entire Titans defense standing around him. Cruikshank was a part of that, and, ooh, God, was that ugly to watch.
He was. I mean, that's the thing is they've had these communication issues and stuff, and they've given up I think they've given up now 6 plays of 40-plus. Only the Chiefs are worse, right?
Yep.
And that was TD tweeted that last night after, you know, watching the Chiefs game. I think they gave up 2. But yeah, I mean, that play right there just, and actually, I believe Byard was one of them as well. So both safeties had a shot. Rashawn Evans is in there. David Long. So both inside linebackers, both safeties all had a shot, were right there, and they all whiffed. That was ugly. And it's just, you know, just things like that. You do that a couple times against the teams coming up, and like, you don't overcome it.
What do we think of the Titans offensively yesterday, including the protection of the offensive line, which was a big talking point heading into this game? We'll get to all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.